You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome to Locked On Balls, your team every day. Locked On Balls, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Aaron Kane, at underscore Kaner on Twitter, at Locked On Vols. I do radio here in Knoxville, also write for the rival site covering Tennessee, that is VolQuest.com. Today's episode is a Twitter Tuesday episode, so in segment number one, we'll go through some of your questions, your thoughts, your concerns on Tennessee against Bowling Green, and now looking ahead to Pittsburgh. In segment two, we will hear from the head coaches for Tennessee and Pittsburgh, that being Josh Heupel and Pat Narduzzi. Some comments from Narduzzi on Sunday's The Nation, as well as Josh Heupel from his Monday afternoon press conference. We'll get you some of the things that those guys said about each other. And then in segment number three, I'm going to give you my early look at Pittsburgh. I did an article Monday afternoon at VolQuest.com called First Glance, an early look at Pittsburgh. And I'll give you some of the players that stood out for Pitt in week one against UMass, some of the players that stood out from the 2020 campaign, and how Tennessee will need to combat that. All that and more here on a Monday show, or Tuesday show of Locked On Vols. Guys, we're talking college football here, but the NFL season's just about to begin, and nobody covers it like the Locked On Podcast Network. August the 30th through September the 8th, Locked On's Ultimate Season Preview. It's taking you through every single team, every single division, with the help of Odyssey's Ross Tucker and Jason Lockenfora. Follow the Ultimate Season Preview 2021 feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Just a couple more days left of this Ultimate Season Preview. So let's get into it here for a Monday show and hit the Twitter Tuesday questions. So we'll go first to @Knox_Vol865. Twitter Tuesday question for you. Is it true Coach Josh Heupel coaches Milton just to stand there in the pocket? Looks very unusual to me. Yeah, when he just stands there flat-footed, not moving at all, no active feet. Sometimes I went back and watched the game, obviously, on Sunday, and it looked like he wasn't even scanning the field at times, the best I can tell. It does look very, very weird. It looks like a statue, per se, and he's just standing there. Tennessee's offensive line did a fine job overall, because Bowling Green is just so inferior of protecting Milton when he's back there in the pocket. A lot of the pressures that he got, it's because he stood back there forever and he finally had to evade and move around and throw on the run or something like that. I'm not a quarterback. I'm not a quarterback's coach, so I'm not going to sit here and say that was wrong. It doesn't look right to me. That's all I'll say. Maybe I'll ask some quarterbacks here in the coming days and kind of get their impressions on that. I need to see Milton a little bit more. A lot of times you have major adjustments. You guys remember the Georgia State game back in 2019? I know, bad memories. But Eric Gray hit that circle button, that spin move, literally probably five or six times in that ball game, and I never saw him spin again after that one game. It's a little minor change there for a running back. This is more so a big change for a quarterback. I understand that, but maybe that's something they correct. Maybe that's something he's being coached about. Regardless, I would think you need some active feet in there. I would think that you need to be bouncing a little bit, because if you're standing straight down, flat-footed, I feel like it's hard to get anything on your throws. I know Milton doesn't really struggle with that because his arm is so strong, but you're not going to be able just to sit back there like a statue against SEC talent, against Pittsburgh this week whatsoever. So, I didn't really answer your question, really, because I don't know. I'm not a quarterback. I don't want to make assumptions, but you're right. It looked really, really weird to me. We will go to @Waylon614. All right, so we heard the second week is when we see the biggest growth in a team. Well, which position group will we see the biggest growth in against Pittsburgh? That's a good question. A lot of times you do see the biggest growth from week one to week two. Not all the time, but sometimes. It's kind of an old saying, and I apply that to a lot of my daily, routine now as an adult. I remember we had our first Rivalry Thursday television broadcast a couple weeks ago, and in game number one, it wasn't bad by any stretch of the imagination, but boy, were we all better on game two, a couple of days later when we went on that Saturday. Just kind of how things go, right? So in that regard, and again, Bowling Green was such an inferior opponent. The pass protection looked fine. The defensive line changed the line of scrimmage. The running backs ran hard. The secondary looked good. The linebackers looked okay overall. There's obviously things to clean up, but a lot of these position groups look so good because it was Bowling Green. Now, you will see some inefficiencies against Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh's going to be a quality opponent for Tennessee. Some are calling it the swing game of the year. I can agree with that. I think this is a huge swing game. If Tennessee finds a way to win this game against Pittsburgh, I mean, if you stay healthy, you might be going from a 6-6 prediction to a 7-5, or a 5-6 prediction, or a 5-7 prediction to a 6-6 prediction, you know, whatever the case may be. So it's going to get tougher against Pittsburgh. We'll talk about more on that in segments 2 and 3. For me, the biggest growth from week 1 to week 2, it's got to be the passing game, right? Even if Milton still struggles a little bit, I don't think he's going to struggle to the tune of what he did in quarters 2, 3, and 4. And Josh Heupel says it's not all on Milton. I know a lot of this is sticking up for your quarterback and protecting your player. I get all that. And I do believe there's some fault there that lies with the wide receivers. Jalen Hyatt, 2 costly drops. Person Fan, a costly drop. You had, you know, wide receivers miss a line, not reading and cutting off the routes like, you know, the way Milton was reading it on Thursday. That's kind of what Josh Heupel said earlier on Monday. So there's some fault to go all around, but bottom line, Milton's got to get better, right? And so I it's going to be tough for me to believe that the throw game will not improve from week 1 to week 2, even though the quality of competition is going to get so much more tough. So I look for the passing game. If I had to say another position, I don't know, what let's say linebackers, right? I thought Jeremy Banks showed up. I thought Aaron Beasley showed up. I thought Solon Page didn't look that great. Juwan Mitchell didn't even show up, even on my rewatch. I mean, Juwan Mitchell and Josh Heupel said he thought both Juwan Mitchell and Jeremy Banks played very well the other night. And again, you could, but you didn't show up on film. And for me, if you don't show up on film, you don't have a nose for the football. You know, that's what defense is, right? And so I look for the linebackers to improve as well from game 1 to game 2. I'll be brief on this. I really do think this is going to be a great measuring stick game for Tennessee's defense, especially against the run, because there's a ton of questions about Tennessee's defense, especially against the run. This run game is not that great. How can Tennessee corral this run game? We'll find out on Thursday. We'll move on to Luke, and Luke wants to know, if I can find Luke, can't find Luke. Luke wants to know, Joe Milton holding on to the football. It looks like he was holding on to the football a lot. I am ad-libbing right now because I can't find what Luke said. Here we go. Hey, Eric, thanks for the opportunity here. Was Joe Milton holding on to the ball too long last week? Was there actually any open receivers down the field on all those possessions where he just kind of stood back there and took forever? And sometimes it led to a sack or a scramble. Yeah, there were a couple of times, and going back, I mean, I saw it in real time too, but, you know, he throws such flat footballs, especially those deep balls to Cedric Tillman, right? If you would throw it a little earlier, put a little air under it, and allow your receiver a chance to go and run under it, I think that'd be more beneficial. The fact that he throws such a flat ball and it's on a line drive, it might look pretty and have a lot of velocity behind it, but it's because you're waiting so long. I mean, Cedric Tillman, to those deep balls, you could have threw those, you know, 5-6 steps earlier, in my opinion. And that's going to be critical, too, because when you're sitting back there in the pocket and you're running these outs and these flag routes and all that, you know, you're going to have to throw it quicker in order to keep the ball in bounds, you know, later on in the season. So, yeah, it looked like Joe Milton was just kind of sitting back there and he held on the ball a little bit too long. Also, you're not going to have that much time in normal games. Against Pittsburgh, you won't have that much time. Against Florida in 2 weeks, you won't have that much time, right? So, yeah, Luke, I would agree with you there. And finally, Seth wants to know early predictions for Pitts. All right, I'm recording this on a Monday. You guys know how this works. On a Monday of game week for Pittsburgh, I'm going to say, I think this can be a great, great game. Pittsburgh opened as a 1.5-point favorite. I'll say Pittsburgh wins. It'll be close, but that's my prediction here on a Monday. Keep in mind, I'm still learning about the Tennessee team this week. I'm learning about Pittsburgh's personnel as well. Going back and watching Pittsburgh's game, going back and watching Tennessee's game. It's a big toss-up game regardless. My Monday prediction is Pittsburgh, you know, by a couple of points, but that could change as the week goes on. And, you know, you guys know I'm going to be honest with you. I'm never going to sugarcoat anything. I want Tennessee to win for you guys, because certainly I like, you know, it's a lot of fun for my line of work when Tennessee wins, and a lot of great supporters for my radio shows and for this podcast. And so I want you guys to be happy, but I'm never going to sugarcoat anything. So my Monday prediction, Pittsburgh by a few points. We will see if that changes as the week goes on. I do want to get into one more. We're running up against it. I'm aware of that. But I put out my grades on social media today, or my social media guy put out my grades. A lot of you guys chimed in with what you thought, if you agreed or disagreed. I appreciate you guys chiming in, but I had one response that I thought was funny, and I do want to read it. It's from Robert Boswell. Can't argue too much there, Uncle Rico. Love that. I do think the operations of running such a fast pace for the first time live and getting everyone lined up with only one false start the entire game should get Milton a B-. Other than that, I'd break up the defensive line into an edge, B-, interior D-line, and A. Yeah, some good points there, Robert. Something Tennessee struggled with in scrimmage number one was pre-snap penalties, and we knew that was going to happen during camp. New offense, new quarterback, new coaching system, plus it's scrimmage number one. It's week number one of the regular season. It's going to be sloppy, but only one false start penalty, that's a really good catch right there. That's that from an operation standpoint, exactly like you said, that's a really good thing that you didn't have more than just one. So I'll give you that. I grouped together the defensive line, the edge, the exterior, interior, all that stuff, because again, Tim Banks wants to be in a 4-3. He's going to be running 4-2-5 this year. He's going to be multiple, I get all that. But in terms of pass rush and defensive line, I just kind of grouped them all together there. But wanted to read that from Robert because I thought those were some really good points there. All right, we will come back. We'll hear from the head coaches, Josh Heupel and Pat Narduzzi, in segment number two. But first, sweat block. Okay, where would you want to wear? It's your little secret to confidence, and it's a must for everyone's toiletry bag, whether it's for a big presentation on a Monday morning or it's a hot day on a Saturday night. It's doctor-created, doctor-recommended, works up to 7 days per use, dry shirt guarantee. If Sweatblock doesn't help you stay dry, you get your money back. It's featured and tested on The Rachel Ray Show by firefighters, the bestseller on Amazon for the past 10 years, over 13,000 reviews, and it's manufactured right here in the U.S. of A. We all struggle with it. We are getting closer and closer to fall. That's great. But here in East Tennessee, it is still 90-plus degrees on a regular basis out there covering this Tennessee football team. Hey, I'm a bigger guy. I sweat a little bit, right? And so Sweat Block really helps and protects me for when I have to go back to the office, when I have to go to a meeting after I've been on the field. You know, it helps me. It can help you as well. So if someone you love is dealing with this or you want to check it out for yourself, check out Sweat Block. You can get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com. by using the promo code LOCKEDON or at Amazon or your local CVS. That's sweatblock.com and Rock Auto. The ever-increasing numbers and makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock up on all the parts you might need. So why endure the often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning that comes with the person behind the counter when you try to order parts from their computer, choosing only their brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer, and you have access to rockauto.com at home and right in your pocket. Save time and money when using rockauto.com. Why choose to spend up to 30 to 50 to even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership when you can get them from the family-owned business that's been serving it to the professionals and the do-it-yourselfers online for over 20 years? But the best part about Rock Auto is the price is always reliably low for every single customer. They have everything you can possibly need, from tail lamps to brake parts, new carpets, motor oils, everything you can possibly imagine. Go check it out at rockauto.com. You can check out their website right now. Easy to find your solutions for all of your auto part needs. So if you have a need right now, go to rockauto.com and see all the parts available for your car or your truck. Right, Locked On in the How'd You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. It's Pittsburgh week right now, and it's a Locked On Vols episode, a Twitter Tuesday edition. We caught up with your questions, your thoughts, your comments in segment number one. I encourage you guys to send in all of those all week long. I bookmark them, I save them for every Tuesday show, so your voice can be heard. But back here on Locked On Vols, I'm your host, Eric Kane, again, @_Kaner. And here in segment number two, I want to hear from the head coaches, Josh Heupel, Pat Narduzzi. Josh Heupel met with the media on Monday afternoon. He shared his thoughts on Bowling Green and looked ahead to Pittsburgh. Pat Narduzzi caught up with Chris Lowe and Austin Price on The Nation, of all network production that, if you're here in Knoxville, it's heard every Sunday night, 6 o'clock on The Sports Animal. And some interesting comments. I want to get them out there for you guys, and we'll talk about them, you know, now and throughout the rest of the week. But first, we all know what this weekend is. It's the first of two editions of the Johnny Majors Classic. Tennessee has a home-and-home with Pitt this year and next year. So on Saturday, September the 11th, whew, I hate that day, when Pittsburgh comes to town, those two teams will be honoring the late, great Johnny Majors, a Tennessee legend, player, coach, a coach at Pitt, won a national championship at Pitt. And what's this mean for you guys? Pat Narduzzi spoke on it on The Nation. I'm not going to play his comments, but I will play Josh Heupel's comments right here on what's this mean for the players and for himself, and how excited are you to kind of get this Johnny Majors Classic rolling out this weekend?
You know, Coach Majors had such a huge impact on both programs. As a player, as a coach, the things that his legacy lives on here at Tennessee, he's a part of the foundation of who we are. He's a cornerstone of it. I think it's a fitting opportunity to pay tribute to him from both programs. And it's unique that you have a coach that is that instrumental in two different programs, and very few opportunities that you get a chance to recognize that with both teams playing.
Again, that was Josh Heupel on the Johnny Majors Classic that's going to take place this Saturday at noon here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Something about Pitt that is a Pat Narduzzi special, that defense gets after the quarterback. Yes, it lost some good players from last year on that defense that finished 20th in the nation, second in the country in tackles for loss per game and sacks per game. You lost some guys, but you bring back a lot of experience as well. I asked Josh Heupel about that pass rush and specifically the tackles. They're going to have to be on their game and try to keep a clean pocket for Joe Milton. Here's what Josh Heupel had to say on the Pittsburgh pass rush.
They lost a couple of elite players off the edge from last year's defense. They still got a bunch of guys that can get after the quarterback. They do that in base downs, first and second. Third down, have multiple schemes to try to mess with your protections and create matchups where they can get after the quarterback. You got to do a great job of chewing up yards. You don't want to be in third and long on these guys. At the same time, first and second down between their front four and the pressures that they bring, you got to do a great job of protecting the quarterback.
And if you guys haven't heard by now, Pittsburgh has got a stellar quarterback, a four-year starter in Kenny Pickett. He is now a super senior, taking advantage of that COVID year, coming back and playing a fifth year for Pitt. He threw for over 2,400 yards in the condensed season last year, 13 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, a 61% completion percentage, but he's gotten better and better and better every single year. I'm going to play what Pat Narduzzi said on his quarterback, Kenny Pickett, first. Now, I'm going to play this clip. This is from The Nation. The guys do the show live from a Texas Roadhouse location here in Knox County. Of course, Pat Narduzzi is over the phone, so background noise a little loud. I do apologize for this, but hear what Pat Narduzzi has to say about his quarterback, Kenny Pickett. Some very, very high praise. Here's Narduzzi.
He's calm in the pocket. He doesn't stress. I think he sees the field pretty darn good. He's good with his eyes down the field and doesn't give things away. He's a seasoned NFL quarterback. I think he's one of the best out there. I've said it for years. He's going to be a quarterback that plays in the NFL for a long time.
Now let's hear what Josh Heupel has to say on Kenny Pickett. Of course, Heupel, a quarterback in his own right, played quarterback at a high level at Oklahoma, was the Heisman front runner, won a national championship. He's coached quarterbacks. We all know his resume: Drew Locke, Sam Bradford, Dylan Gabriel. The list goes on and on, right? Here's what Josh Heupel had to say about Kenny Pickett and what he sees in the Pittsburgh Sentinel caller.
Yeah, I couldn't believe he's still around. He's been there forever. He's continued to grow as a playmaker from the first time that I've seen him. He's got great command and understanding of what they're doing. He's a really good decision maker. He's got the ability to make plays to uniquely extend and create some plays. They put a ton of pressure on him, and when I say that, I mean they put the ball in his hands a bunch and trust him, and you've seen him play at a really high level.
And then finally, ask Pat Narduzzi on The Nation last night, again, a radio show via the Vol Radio Network, what he sees in Josh Heupel, what he sees in Heupel's offenses. And I don't have the audio for you, but here's the quote he said on The Nation, this being Pat Narduzzi on Josh Heupel. Quote, he's a heck of a coach. His offenses to stop are not easy. They have a great offense. He's explosive. It's one of those scary offenses that you have to defend because they put you in space and make you defend the whole length of the field. And then you look at the phenomenal, or you look at the personnel they have. I've watched the game already, that being the Tennessee Bowling Green game. You watch Milton, the quarterback, and all that talent and scheme they have on that football team, as well as the defense with Tim Banks. I don't see a lot of differences between what I saw Thursday compared to what they did when they were at UCF. He'll have his changeup for us to do some things to try to keep our backers in check. That was Pat Narduzzi on Josh Heupel from The Nation. Now, Josh Heupel and Pat Narduzzi, they've squared off twice already, okay? And so back in 2018, I believe it was Pittsburgh getting the better hand of Central Florida. No, it was UCF, actually. In 2018, UCF smoked Pitt 45-14 in Orlando, racking up nearly 600 yards of total offense in the process. In 2019, Pitt got even, won in a shootout 35-34. Heupel's offense still put up 422 yards of total offense, 338 through the air. So Pat Narduzzi, a defensive coach, gave up 45 and gave up 34 to Josh Heupel-led offenses. Now, again, that was Josh Heupel in 2018. That was a first-year head coach for UCF, taking over Scott Frost's talent down there. I recognize that. But Josh Heupel in year number two also put up 35 against one of the most heralded defensive coaches in the game, and Pat Narduzzi. So found that interesting. Obviously, Narduzzi knows a lot about Josh Heupel, but wanted to get those comments out there for you guys to hear and to listen to. So when we come back, we will check in and get an early look on Pitt, the personnel, the playmakers, what happened in week one, all that and more coming up in segment number three. Again, it's just a first look. We'll continue to break it down as the week goes on, but wanted to get that out there here early in the week. But before we get to that, guys, it is betonline.ag time. It's that time of the year. All eyes are turned to the football field. Teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college action this season. You can get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest half-million-dollar NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor contest. It's open now at BetOnline. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device. Sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus, meaning if you're a first-time user and you put in your deposit for the first time when opening an account, say I put in $100, they're going to match it, give you $100 as well in free play. That is unheard of. You can also take advantage of their opening day super promo by using the promo code NFL100. Again, promo code NFL100 for the super promo. And what that super promo is opening night for the NFL. This Thursday, the Bucs will take on the Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only. Again, when using that promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action, from football to basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, it's your online sportsbook experts. It's been a fun show so far here on a Twitter Tuesday, guys. Appreciate you hanging out with me here today. We are going to take a look at our first glance of Pittsburgh. Who is Pittsburgh? Who is Pat Narduzzi? What does this Pittsburgh team do? Now, again, this is a team that its calling card is defense, but it has a really good quarterback as well. A little background real quick. Pittsburgh's lost at least five games for 11 straight years, which is not great. But since Narduzzi's gotten to the program back in 2015, no team in the ACC has won more conference games than Pittsburgh, of course, excluding Clemson and Miami. So it's won the third most ACC games since 2015 has Pittsburgh, you know, excluding Clemson and Miami. So it'll be interesting there. 2020 was just lights out defensively for Pat Narduzzi. You lost Rashad Weaver and Patrick Jones II, who were two phenomenal defensive ends. They combined for 16.5 sacks, 27.5 tackles for loss. You lost two starting safeties of that defense that ranked 20th in the country, giving up 339 yards per game. The Panthers were second in both sacks and tackles for loss and outing while giving up only 93 rushing yards a game. That stat good enough for third in the country. So you lost some key contributors to a very, very solid unit on defense. I expect that defense only to get worse in 2021 simply because it was so dominant in 2020, if that makes sense. But the Panthers got five sacks and six TFLs in the 51-7 win over UMass. Like Bowling Green, UMass, there's not a lot that you can really take from that. Outside linebacker John Patrician led the team with six tackles and two sacks. Phil Campbell, he returns with some experience as well. Pittsburgh only gave up 42 yards of rushing and 209 yards overall in that game against the Minutemen. Now, again, the Minutemen, not much of a challenge, but it's something to go off of in week number one. Some other guys that Pittsburgh brings back that's really talented. Gosh, it's like the all-name team here. You have defensive lineman Kalijah Cansey, and he's now a redshirt sophomore. He played in all 11 games in 2020, and he started four games, but he was named a freshman All-American by the Football Writers Association and Rivals, also The Athletic. He finished with 27 tackles, seven tackles for loss, and a sack and a half. is that worthy of freshman All-American honors? Well, how many freshmen were playing? So I guess that was a big deal back in 2020. So I guess that's something. So Kantz, he's a guy you got to watch out for sure. But, you know, also the guys I've already mentioned and some of those returners. So you got a defense that is just solid with Narduzzi. It gets after the quarterback. You heard from Josh Heupel in segment number two, even though there's some new faces there, some guys who have gotten some run, and we'll get back there as well. So Tennessee really going to have to focus on protecting Joe Milton, really. Just protecting. He will not have all day to pass like he did against Bowling Green. That is for sure. Offensively, you got fifth-year quarterback Kenny Pickett. He finished 27-37, 272 yards and two touchdowns against UMass. Pittsburgh ranked 39th overall in passing offense a season ago, where he threw for over 2,400 yards and 13 touchdowns. Now, the inconsistency with this offense, though, okay, it ranked 111th out of 129 out of 129 Division I programs with just 119.8 rushing yards a game last year. So you ranked 39th in passing and 111th in rushing. When you average those two out, Pittsburgh's offense ranked 13th out of 15th in the ACC last year. Not great. Vincent Davis is kind of the main guy on the ground there for the Panthers. Get this, against Georgia Tech in the season finale in 2020, he ran for 275 yards after only accumulating 385 yards in the 10 games prior. What's up with that? I mean, he played in week one. He didn't lead the team in touches or rushing yards, but he was right there. In fact, you had a lot of guys that kind of shared the shared the rock there. You had five players rush for at least 30 yards and five different players scoring touchdowns for Bowling Green. Excuse me, for Pittsburgh against UMass. But I will remind you, as we talked about last week, UMass's rush defense was second worst only to Bowling Green in 2020. So how much can you take from this game? I don't know. The sharing the ball mentality stretched to the receiving corps as well. Seven players tallied at least 30 yards receiving. Five players tallied at least 40 yards. Two players tallied 50 yards, led by former Florida Gator and transfer tight end Lucas Kroll. Five receptions, 58 yards, and a touchdown. Overall, against UMass, Narduzzi's team racked up 598 yards of total offense, 375 passing through the air, 223 rushing on the ground, 35 first downs, possessed the football for 30 minutes and 48 seconds in that ball game. The offense did turn the football over twice. So those are a couple of looks at who to kind of keep an eye on, you know, in this matchup. I do want to mention one other receiver that I did not mention in my article. It was not an oversight. He was in my notes, but you've got a wide receiver that was a freshman or a runner-up for freshman of the year for the ACC last year, and his name is Jordan Addison. So he is going to be a wide receiver to watch out for, certainly on Saturday for Tennessee. Real quick, a couple matchups that I want to, you know, kind of put out there early in the week that's going to be critical. Tennessee's offensive tackles against Pittsburgh's defensive ends, right? We've talked about that a little bit. Milton versus the intermediate passing game. Your veteran-led at linebacker and in the secondary for Pittsburgh. Milton, he shined in quarter number one against Bowling Green, throwing the intermediate, short to intermediate passing game, rolling out these dunks, these dinks, these outs, these drags, these digs. That's where Milton shined in quarter number one. And of course, he struggled, you know, quarters two through four when he tried to extend it. Kenny Pickett versus an experienced secondary. Can Alante Taylor and Theo Jackson string together two solid outings? We'll find out. They're going to be tested again. Kenny Pickett, a fifth-year starter. And running back by committee, I mentioned that Davis is the guy prominently the guy for Pittsburgh, but they let a lot of guys run the football in week one. How many will run the football in week two against Tennessee? Regardless, is it going to be Rodney Hammond Jr. who led the team with eight carries, or will it be Davis being the main guy? Regardless, I think this will be a great challenge for Tennessee's front seven. It's not a daunting backfield for Pittsburgh. We saw the stats in 2020. The stats were okay. Ran for over 200 yards in week one against UMass, but, you know, I mean, who couldn't, right? I could do that. Maybe not. But it'll be a good challenge for Tennessee's front seven. Still a lot of question marks against rush defense and really pass defense as well. How can Tennessee's front seven play against this less-than-stellar running back backfield on Saturday? That's something I want to watch out for as well. All right, a loaded Tuesday, Locked On Vols, and we're just getting started, guys. We'll have Josh Ward Wednesday coming up tomorrow. We'll have some, hopefully, a VFL later on in the week. We'll have a complete preview on Friday and more news and notes and audio throughout the rest of the week as we get you set for the Johnny Majors Classic in Pittsburgh coming up on Saturday. Guys, we're done with Locked On Vols. Betting on the SEC, it doesn't have to be a guessing game anymore, though. Dial into your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling with Locked On Bets. Daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. You can follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag and wherever you get your podcasts. Fun show, guys. We'll do it again on a Wednesday, Locked On Vols. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, everybody.